Afternoon studies have been on the subject, the title that I've been giving it, Biblical Answers to Everyday Problems. We're working through some very practical struggles that many Christians face and learning how the Bible gives us counsel and direction as we face those everyday problems. Also using a set of books that have been put out by the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. They're on the back table, and the subject that I've chosen for this week is peer pressure. Before those of you who are beyond your teen years thinks that this is not a subject for you, let me assure you that this is actually a quite pertinent subject, and I think you'll see why. Although the author especially directs it to those of you who are teens. So with that in mind, like I did last week, I'm going to read the introduction, just the first page, just as a example of how we might face this. I will never forget my first day of high school. You remember your first day of high school?
I can't even remember my first day of high school.
You probably skipped. sorry, Dave. So I will never forget my first day of high school. I was moving from a private elementary school where I knew everyone to a public high school where I knew no one. I was terrified I wouldn't be accepted. My Christian upbringing only added to my worries. I was afraid that everyone's values would be light years away from mine. My mind was filled with questions. Would I be liked? Would I be accepted? Would I be considered cool? What group would I fit in with? How much rejection and mockery would I have to endure before I was finally in? That first day of high school, I felt like an alien from another planet. In this case, alien is the little green man from Mars. I knew it wasn't true, but I felt like every eye in the entire place was sizing me up. What was the source of my fear, stress, and anxiety? We call it peer pressure, but that title doesn't really do it justice. This is a huge issue that affects every aspect of a teenager's life. The way your teenager deals with peer pressure now will impact the rest of his or her life. How can you help? So this little booklet is actually divided into two very helpful segments that I'm going to divide up and follow as well. I'm going to first start by seeing what the Bible says about peer pressure, and then next week, actually 2 weeks from now, look at counsel for yourself and then counsel for parents as you raise your children in this context. Let me start off by saying that peer pressure is not just a teen issue. It is a human issue. You won't be able to take a concordance and look up peer pressure in the back of your Bible or on a Bible word search on your smartphones. It's not there. But you will be able to find what the Bible calls the fear of man. The fear of man. It's, in fact, a very common problem for people to struggle with. It manifests itself with questions like this. What do others think of me? Will they like me? Will they laugh at me? Those are ones that Paul David Tripp, the author of this little booklet, remembers as he went into a new high school situation. Those are also fears or questions that you might have going into all sorts of other situations. Will they approve of my work? Will they notice the good that I do or the job that I do? Will they take me for granted? Will I be overlooked? Or might show up in how influential you think of another person's opinion. If that person's opinion is governing everything about your life, What you wear, what you eat, what you read, you govern everything by that person's opinion in your life. So God does address this very common struggle. I have four different passages that I'd like to read, and then we'll take some time to discuss what the Bible says about the fear of man. Let me give out these verses. Just raise your hand if you would read these verses for us. First of all, Proverbs 29:25, Sam. Like Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4. Good. Isaiah 51, verses 7 and 8. Peter, and then Caleb, you can do Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. We'll read these just without comment, and we'll come back and I'll summarize some of the biblical teaching about the fear of man. Listen for that phrase and for that influence in these verses. Start with Proverbs 29:25.
The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe.
Psalm 146, verses 3 through 4.
Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that day his plans perish.
Isaiah 51, 7 through 8.
Listen to me, you who know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations.
And Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8.
Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit.
That doesn't sound like a teenager problem, does it? Or a teenager struggle. God's word makes it plain that this is something that men, women, young and old are all faced with. It is a struggle that does seem to have some special emphasis for those in their teen years, but it is a common struggle that addresses all mankind. And as you noticed, I think that you would find that the fear of man has an opposite to it, and that's the fear of God. Now, in God's providence, we're starting a study on the fear of God in the morning, and Dave Carroll is teaching through that subject in our morning class, and I think you'll find that there will be a lot of overlap and a lot of ways that this will be helpful for us to think about today and have that longer extended study on the fear of God. What that points out, though, is that the fear of man is not really a problem so much as about how you relate to people horizontally. That's the word that Mr. Tripp uses. It's more of an issue about how you are relating to God vertically. So by vertical, it means Mr. Tripp has in mind your relationship with God, the up and down, and then horizontal means the relationship with one another. Now, those two influence each other, and they have an important way in which they interact. In this case, it might seem like the fear of man is just something that has to do with our dealings and relationships with people on the horizontal realm. But what the Bible is leading you to understand is that if you are fearing man, that there's something wrong with your fear of God. And that at the root of the problem, at the root of the struggle is that you have misunderstood your proper relationship to God. And that that mistake then bears the bad fruit of poor relationships then with others on the horizontal realm. We care about the opinions of others. We are worried about what they think about us. And to show you how that is related to the vertical rather than the horizontal, let me remind you of what we talked about last week. Last week we were discussing the issue of stress and of opinions about work. And we found that God has made us to work and made us to rest. And that sometimes we can put work at the center of our lives where God belongs. And that when we do that, that our work and our rest becomes off kilter. In a similar way, our study this week is leading us to understand that if you place the opinions of others where God ought to be, then the bad fruit is sure to grow. In this case, the opinions of others replace God and His opinion, and the way Paul David Tripp describes it is this. He says, "The identity, meaning, purpose, security, motivation, and sense of well-being we are meant to get from God, we try to get from the people around us. The result? We become focused on how those people are responding to us, controlled by what they think of us, and fearful of what they might do to us." Think back to the scripture passages we just read. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. If you have placed the opinions of others on the throne of your heart, then that becomes, as Proverbs says, a snare to you. A snare that can lead into a variety of sins. In fact, as you read through the Proverbs, you'll find that oftentimes that Solomon describes being led astray by the crowd around. Led astray into adultery, led astray into the group that says, "Hey, come on, let's go and lay in wait for someone's blood." We've put the opinion of others in the place of God, and it is a snare. It leads us astray. Or as the Psalms say, if we put our trust in princes, in the Son of Man, that person's life, his dreams, his influence is going to come to an end. He has no power to save you. As much as you think that you can be delivered by someone in power or someone in authority or someone popular, that person will come to an end. And so will that salvation that you imagined or that influence that you imagined was going to be good for you. Listen again to Isaiah 51. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool, but my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations." In this case, God is speaking, and he says, why are you trusting in something temporary? Why are you trusting in something or fearing something that the moth is going to eventually eat away and the worms are going to make their body decay? They're going to revile you? So what? Instead, fear God and be one who trusts in Him and in His law. It will be forever and His salvation to all generations. And to more sobering, Jeremiah 17, thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. And goes on to describe him as a plant in the desert, who withers away in the desert sun. But instead, the one is blessed, as Psalm 1 seems to be quoted here. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the waterside. So think of the fear of man, think of peer pressure as being a mistrust or a misplacement of your trust, thinking more about the opinions of others than you do the opinions of God. Paul Tripp then goes on to think briefly in the booklet about why teens are especially vulnerable to this type of fear of man or peer pressure. I'm going to open it up to you, either as teens or those who will be teens or those who once were teens, to answer what is it that, from your experience, things that you remember or things you are going through now or things that you anticipate, what is it that that makes those years especially vulnerable to this idea of being of putting others' opinions more highly than your relationship with God?
You want to be in the cool hip crowd, so you do what the cool hip people do?
Expand on that. Anybody can expand on that. Why do you want to be in the cool and hip crowd?
I think it's an issue of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I think in those years, people don't have as well of a relationship with the Lord as they should have, and it's an issue of maturity. So it's a struggle. I think the acceptance also comes from issues of insecurity, that you don't have your security in the Lord. You glean your self-worth, your security based upon, okay, others like me, so therefore I must have worth, or if they don't like me, there must be something wrong with me and I don't have worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what stage this is, but you go to adulthood, you start going through these stages of more and more awareness of the Lord around you. At some point, you actually become aware of what others are thinking about you. I imagine that's got to be play into part of the reason why it's like suddenly there's this new concept, this new potential threat that just now suddenly comes to consciousness, and now you're thinking about it, now you're aware of it, but you may not have thought of that much
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an aspect of human development that's going on here. There's a growing awareness of the world around you, a growing independence, which is a good thing. That's what we God has designed us to grow in maturity, responsibility, and independence. And as parents, we're training our children in that direction as well. So, but there's some bumps and bruises sometimes along the way. Mm-hmm.
You spent a lot of years with your siblings where you fall in line with them, and you know your mom and dad love you, and you feel as ugly as can be, and they would still love you. But you're stepping out into the world where you're being compared, and you're measuring up with everyone else out there, kind of been living with my husband long enough to be able to make a little sports analogy.
All right.
You may be the best player in your little town in high school, but you get to college and you find out everyone's that good.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good sports analogy. Yeah, really good. Dan would be proud. It fit very well. Yes, there are new circles of relationships that are being developed by in those teen years, and you're moving out of some of the safety of the home and into other realms of relationship, and that identity is being developed separate from the family. So where do I fit in? How do I make friends in those other settings?
Right. So I, as an individual separate from my family, do I have value and work? Do I have something to offer other people? Are my opinions valid?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the fears that you face during that time? If you've read this little booklet, Tripp mentioned some. We've alluded to some of them already, but maybe think of it in that framework, since it's the fear of man that the Bible speaks of. What are some of the fears that that young people in teen years have gone through, or you are going through? Yeah, sure.
Embarrassment,
loneliness, yeah.
Being teased,
yeah.
Rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I can't dance.
Very good. Well, you could tell sometimes we can pit ourselves, us versus the world, but this is not something that is just, it's not worldliness that we're struggling with. This is something that is a human struggle. So we hope that you'll recognize that. Let me also speak very frankly that there are families with children that grow up with a lot of hurt in their families. I'm increasingly concerned for just the culture of abuse that seems to be part of America these days. And so that whole idea of being safe physically, emotionally, sexually in a world around you is something that needs to be recognized. Tripp mentions this one too. Fear of being known for who you really are. And so you try to become the person that the peers want you to be. So each one of you is an individual made by God, and you have your own interests, your own abilities, your own quirks, my own quirks, and we can fear that I will be rejected, to go back to that rejection. I'm going to stop there and encourage you to be mulling on these verses and be mulling about how to develop a fear of God rather than the fear of man. So ultimately, that's the only solution for the struggle with with thinking too highly of the opinions of others, the struggle with fearing man. The only solution is to fear God. And then from that proper attitude and proper relationship with the Lord, then other things fall into place around that. So be thinking about answering the question, what does it mean to fear God? And don't just wait for Dave to answer that next week. I want you to think about it yourself. I want you to be looking at scriptures that talk about fearing the Lord, about fearing man. And think about your own life, and if you're parents and are helping children work through these things, then think about how to help your children do that. One way we help each other is to pray for each other, so I do want to open it up for prayer requests from you.